Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, welcome to Kingdom Talk. I'm your host, Pastor Tekla Goss. Thank you for tuning in tonight on NDO, Christian Gospel Radio Network. And tonight we're just going to be discussing a topic. Usually I don't do topics, but God gave me a topic because we've been speaking about it in my home church. We've just been speaking about it, just myself and other believers through conversation with my leader, just talking about without warning. And what this means is we can find it in Matthew chapter 24, verse 42. We can find it in Luke chapter 12 as well. And it says, "Watch therefore, for ye know not what hour your Lord doth come." And the reason why I want to talk about this on tonight is because I feel like my generation that I was raised in and the generation after me are really not taking heed on the essence of time. And we always feel like if things is fun and we're having fun and everything is lit, then that means it's a good thing. And I believe God spoke about it prior on other shows that just because something is good does not make it a part of God's will. Just because something is a good deed or a positive act or whatever you want to call it, however you want to label it, does not mean it's God's will. Does not mean it's an act that God unctioned you to do or God directed you to do or told you to do. Sometimes you can mean well, you thought it was good, but it was not the godly thing to do. And that's what we are experiencing now. You know, people just want to live life and want to live under that concept of YOLO, you only live once. But I beg to differ on tonight. We are only here for a temporary time, and we will live again, whether that may be in heaven or in hell. That is up to us. And God is saying we don't know that hour. We don't know that time. So even as young believers, you still have to take life serious and really have to put an urgency on that time frame because you don't know. It's like when you were a teenager, right, and your parents go out. This is the illustration that I have in my head. Your parents go out. Now, you know what time your parents leave in because they told you. And you roughly think around the time that they're coming back home. So, you know, between this time frame and this time frame, I can do, you know, as I please, do whatever in the house. But by that end time, I have to, you know, clean it up, clear it up. Very similar to what was spoken at my home church today. So being that you know even a close reference point of time, you can begin to start doing what needs to be done before your parents come home. You're going to start cleaning up. You're going to make sure none of the evidence of what you was doing is found. You know, whether it be was you was having a party or you had a friend over that wasn't supposed to be there, whatever the case may be, but you had a reference point of time of when those things need to be cleared out before your parents got home. And that's what's going on right now. Like, Jesus is coming back, and for people to think that we have time when we don't, we really don't. It's like we have a reference time of when he's coming back. We don't have the actual time, just like your parents. You don't know the exact time they were supposed to get home. You don't know if they was going to not like the party and then, you know, come back early. Or you don't know if they forgot something at home and came back before the time they told you. You never really knew what time they were coming. You just had a reference of the time things should be done and cleared out. And it's the same thing with Jesus. We don't know the time or the hour, but as we read the word and as we see the end of times playing out from the Bible and in Revelation, we have a reference. We know that he's coming back soon. We know that he's on his way. We know that the clock is ticking. We know that within a blink of an eye, it could be tonight. It may be tomorrow. It may be next week. It may be in a month. You don't know, but we do know that it's coming. There's no chance that it's not happening. There's no chance of it not happening at all. Jesus is coming back. So that's the definite time reference that we have, that we know that we have to be ready for his return, that we know that he's returning as a judge and as the king. You know, where he's coming back in all his glory and all his authority, all his righteousness, he's coming back. And it's going to come unexpectedly. Just like the story of Noah, which we love, we hear about a lot, and we go to reference that because Noah was doing something that was out of the ordinary. Noah was doing something with a reference time frame because he himself didn't know when. God just told him what to do and told him what was going to happen. But guess what? What happened? At an unexpectedly time, the flood came in Noah's day. It came, but it was unexpectedly. Even though prior to that, he was warning. Certain people didn't listen, and they got caught up. They didn't know at that point that day would be their last day. That's why we gotta be ready. That's why we gotta be awake. Jesus is not telling us to be awake, meaning to stay awake physically to avoid actual sleep. That's not what he's saying. He's telling us to live in a mindset of being sober, being aware, being observant, being vigilant. That's what he's telling us, to be on post, to know what's going on, to recognize the signs of the end time, to be able to discern what's happening in the spirit. This is what he's saying. We can't miss it if we're paying attention. We can't miss it if we're observant, if we're constantly praying, seeking his face, and just listening for the voice of God, for whatever it is that he speak or may tell us. Because a lot of the people in the Bible, prophets, teachers, leaders, all of that, the reason why they is from being obedient to God's voice. That's how you survive. That's how you live. The only way you're going to make it out of these situations is if you listen to the voice of God. That's the only way. It's no other answer. It's no gimmick to it. It's no, you know, it's no magic. It's no trick. The answer is to be obedient to his voice, whatever it is that he tells you to do, and you just give out the warning. You just tell the people and spread whatever it is that God has given you. You just share it. That's it. Because we know that this life is temporary, and the next life is eternal. And that could begin without warning. That's why you don't know. They say, you know, tomorrow's not promised. And we say that a lot, but it's true, because when you walk out there, anything can happen. You could get hit by a car. You could get in a car accident. Anything can happen. So you don't know when your next life is going to begin without warning, and you got to be ready. You can't be living for today. You can't be living, you know, like, there's no judgment day that's coming. You can't be sleeping through an alarm, because I really feel in the spirit there's an alarm going off, and he's trying to wake up the believers. He's trying to shake his people to say, listen, come on, get ready, get ready, get ready, because Christ is coming soon. And you don't have as much time as you thought, because the opportunity to put your trust in Christ for salvation is determined by the length of your life before death. So you have to have time to be able to you know, work out your soul salvation and get it right with him. And that's why he's on us this way. And that's why he wants us to spread the gospel. And that's why he wants us to teach. And that's why we post videos. And that's why we get on the phone and we talk about him and we tell our families to get it right. And we speak to our coworkers and we're talking to our children, because we know as believers that it's only a limited amount of time. It's only a limited amount of time in one's life. We don't live forever in this physical body. We only live forever in eternity, depending on where we go in. So with the time we have to spread that warning. Got to preach that unadulterated gospel. Got to send the message out that, listen, I understand you young, but it's no exceptions. It's no exceptions, because you young, you still need to be saved, delivered, set free, healed, filled with the Holy Ghost. You still need to confess Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. It does not matter that you're young. I was called very young. And in the beginning, I thought the same thing. This is why God actually laid this message on my heart, because I was there. And I was a teenager. I still had teen on the end of my age. So it was definitely mind-blowing to me. I'm like, wait, I'm just a teen. God, how am I gonna be saved? And I'm a teen. I'm supposed to be having fun. I'm supposed to be doing X, Y, and Z. No, but that's what the world told me that I had to be doing. The world gave me that perception of what my life should be like. But I'm not of this world. I'm not of this world. I'm a peculiar. I'm a part of a peculiar people. So I can't live by the statutes of the world. I can't live by the laws of this land, because I am not from here. Once I found out who I was, my spiritual identity, once I became saved, the perception of what my life was supposed to look like at a certain age was out the window, because my life belongs to God. My life is going to look like what God wanted to look like. My goals is going to be the goals that God has given me. My desires is going to be the desires that God placed in me through the Holy Spirit. I'm not desiring those things no more. Before, I thought at a certain age, oh, you have to have a house, you have to have a car, you have to have this amount of money, you have to be doing this. Now, I'm not saying be no slouch. I'm not saying, oh, we gonna wait on the Lord to show us this and what this. No, you know. You know you're going to have to get up and, you know, figure life out and get a job and work, because faith without works is dead. You're going to have to do something. Whatever that something may be that God put in you, you got to do it. But what I'm saying is that once you become converted and once your heart change and your mind change and you begin to tap into your source and you begin to get connected to the Most High God, things begin to shift in your perspective, in your mind. You're no longer thinking that, okay, I'm young, I gotta have fun. I'm young, I gotta party. I gotta drink. I gotta have sex. I gotta club. It's just who I am. I gotta dance, you know, the stress away. I gotta smoke the pain away. I gotta sex the hurt out. You doing certain things because you feel it's predicated to you having fun. It's predicated to you being young. You know, it's connected with you living your life to the fullest. And that's the biggest deception that the enemy has placed on the younger generation, because that's a lie from the pits of hell. You can be saved and still have fun. You can be saved and be in the will of God. You can be saved and be heaven bound. Just because you're no longer sinning does not mean your life is over. God will give you new passions, new desires, new fulfilling things to do that will give you purpose and sustain you and fulfill you to where you don't have to do those things no more. And really, honestly, a lot of us was doing those things, those type of things, because we were trying to fill other voids and don't even notice it. All in the name of it's fun. It's deception. It's not fun. It's killing you. It's dragging you to hell. It's not fun. Jesus died for our sins so that we can have life yet again. That's what he did it for, because according to sin, that's unto death. So when Jesus died for us, that's so we can have life again. We can't make it here without him. We can't make it here without God. We're not going to be able to go through the trials and tribulations that is coming. We're not going to survive what is on the way without God. You're not going to make it. You're not going to make it. The enemy has tricked you to make you think that you have time. The enemy has deceived you to say this is something that is only for the older generation. This is for older people. Oh, I'll get saved when I'm old. I'll get right with God when I'm old. And who's to say when your expiration date is? Because we don't know that. And we got to be ready. That's why he said no man know the hour. We don't know what hour, so if we had an expected time, we would get right before that time. As I said, when you know your parents is coming, you're going to clean that house, you're going to sweep through it up and down all around before they come so you don't get in trouble. And people thinking, oh, we don't have an expected time because we don't know the hour and we don't know the time. Yes, it says that biblically, but it also speaks about the signs of the end of times, and we're living in it. Everything that is speaking of is happening. The word is fulfilling itself. We talk about this on the show all the time. The word is really fulfilling itself. We can clearly see that in this life right now. So therefore, that is a reference of time, telling us where we are and how relatively close we are to the coming back of Christ. Don't let the enemy deceive you. It don't matter if you young or you old. Clearly, it doesn't matter your age because God said he will pour his spirit out on all men. All men. He said our children will prophesy. And old men gonna dream dreams and visions. All of that is in the word. All of that is there, so he's telling us it wasn't an age thing. You know, God have no respect of persons. He don't have no favoritism. So whoever is willing to receive him, they going to get him. If you accept him, he's going to come into your heart. So that's what he's telling his people. He's saying, listen, it's not an age thing. I don't care how old you are, because some of these people in the word was called when they were born. That's why he said, I formed you in your mother's womb. I knew you before. I had a plan for your life, plans to prosper you and not to harm you. That means he already had a plan already for us. Already in place, already set in stone, what our purpose was going to be. He already knew that, and that was from a baby. That was from a baby. So we can't think that, oh, it's an age thing. We got time. We young. This thing going to wait on us, and we going to get it right when we done doing what we doing. No, we don't have time, guys. We don't have time, younger generation. God is calling you to. God is calling you to repent as well. God is calling you to be the example amongst your friends, amongst your peers, your family. God is calling you to. It's not all for you neither. You know, this expectation is for you as well. Because everybody's time is running out. It don't matter your age. It's not about that. Mankind's time is running out. He's speaking to everyone to get right. Whether you believe or you don't, he's speaking to everyone, Jews and the Gentiles, because everyone is his creation. Now, are you his child is a different story, but everyone is his creation. So he's speaking to all of us, and he's telling us, get right, get right, get right, because he's coming back. He's coming back. He's coming back. And we so used to hearing it, and it seems so like okay, whatever. Everybody said that. My great grandmother been saying that for years. My mama said it. You know, my great great grandma said it. We in the last day. No, I get that. But now we're actually living it. They said it, but we're living it. See, they was given even the warning back then when grandma and great-great-grandma and great-great-great-grandma was saying that statement. It was because they were sending out the warning even then, and the warning was being passed down. The warning was being spread like it was supposed to, and that's what God is saying for us to do as well. We're supposed to spread that warning and tell the people, you know, that Jesus is coming back soon. We supposed to be spreading that just as much as our grandparents did it, because they were trying to send a warning. They were trying to let us know that trouble was ahead and that Jesus was coming and that we better get right. We got to be ready, because he's coming back soon. They were telling us that the world was going to get worse. And we hear it every time, because we hear, oh, this generation is nothing like how my generation used to be. This generation doing things that my generation never did, because it's getting worse. It's getting worse. That's the signs of the end of time. It's fulfilling itself. It's getting worse. Like my pastor always say, the world's waxing colder and colder. And that is very much the truth. But it's because it is written. It's because the word is fulfilling itself. It's a living word. So it's literally coming to pass right before our eyes. And God is trying to give his people the opportunity to not miss it. Do not think that your life cannot be fulfilling without God, because it can be. You can be happy. You can have peace. You can have joy. You can actually be present and not be on autopilot for your life, because that's what the enemy wants. He wants you to be on autopilot. When you're living in that way, you're on autopilot. You're not really living. You're there, but you're not there. And life is just happening right before you, and you can't even put together the pieces. You don't know what happened the other day. You don't know what went on last week, because you're on autopilot. You just doing whatever is fun, whatever at the moment, you know, whatever your flesh is leading you to do, boom, 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 you do it, get it done. And now you look up, you're like, wow, 10 years went by? Wow, what did I do? And you don't even know. You don't even know, because the enemy had you deceived, had you in a trance. You never even knew what happened. You never even knew that 10 years went by. You never even knew what was going on. And then now you still saying the same statement again. Oh, I got to have fun. I got to live. I got to live it up. It's not my time yet. I get saved when I'm done. When you don't have no time, as I stated before, because by the time a person knows the moment came, your choice was already made. Then you don't even have a choice to change your mind. Just like the story in the Bible with the five wise brides, groom, and the ones that weren't so wise, the other five, because the one group of five had the oil and the others didn't have enough. And you think you have time. And then when Jesus came and they went to go have the feast, the ones with the extra oil went in. And the other ones that wasn't prepared, that didn't think to take enough and be ready to be able to wait, the door was slammed in their face because they wasn't prepared to wait. And some of us are not prepared to wait because we don't see it, because it's not here right now in front of our face. We're not prepared to wait. We don't want to wait for the coming back of Christ because we think that we can live how we want now because he's not here. When he said he coming like a thief in the night, you're not going to know. So therefore, how are he going to catch you? Is he going to catch you praying without ceasing, fasting, in your word? Is he going to catch you, you know, on post, on guard, being watchful as a watchman on the wall? Or is he going to catch you, you know, in sin, living a life that's not pleasing to him. Living a life where there's no love for him, no respect, no reverence, no fear for him. How he's going to catch you. Because God loves us, and that's why he's given us a chance, and that's why he has all of these things going across the internet. You know, people speaking it in church on different platforms, TikTok, Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, wherever, and where they putting out the warning for repentance because it's an urgency in their spirit and they can feel it. And the only thing we could say as a believer is we can't give you a time, we can't give you a date. But when you have the Holy Spirit that lives inside of you, I can guarantee it, you feel that Christ is coming back. You feel a weeping in your spirit. You feel, you just feel that this is urgent. This is important. And you don't even know why. You just feel the Holy Spirit on you. And you just know that you got to tell the people Jesus is coming back. Come on, y'all, let's go. We got to get ready. Jesus is coming. It's like you're banging on doors. It's like, come on, let's go. You know, when the kids is just starting school from summer and they oversleeping and they got to get that bus to go to school because their mom can't drive you. So you banging on that door. Let's go. Wake up. Wake up. You don't have no time. Let's go. Hurry up. You can't get ready. And it's just like that, but it's way more sad. It's way more sad because if we don't take the time that God has given us to get it right and to work out our own soul salvation, then the sad truth is, we're going to go to hell. And God don't want that. He don't desire that. That's why he given us this time. But that's the sad truth. If we don't turn, if we don't repent, if we don't start living this lifestyle, if we don't start really applying that word and walking this thing out, then the sad truth is that we will go to hell. And we will spend eternity there, burning, gnashing of teeth, that we will experience that great pain and sorrow and that anger because we thought that we had time, because we thought that, you know, it was okay. You know, I was just living. I was just partying. I was just being young. But the devil has tricked you and deceived you because you don't have time. And yes, you may be young, but God said when you give up this life and you die for him, you will live again. But if you don't give up your life for him, you will die. You will surely die. You will surely die. And the word says, why be afraid of man or what your friends think or even your parents or anybody who don't believe? Why care what they think when they don't have the power to kill you in the natural and in the spirit? You should be afraid of the one that can kill you in the natural and in the spirit. God has the power to do that. They only can kill your natural body. That's it. But they can't kill your soul. So why are we not afraid of God? Why are we not giving him that reverence and that honor? Why are we not turning to him? Even, you know, if we have issues, it's okay. God said, come to me as you are. He's not saying come when you got it all together. That's what people are thinking. Oh, when I get right, then I'm going to go. You're never going to get it right. You're never going to be ready for church. You're never going to be ready to give your life to him because you're never going to be perfect. That's why he said, come as you are. Because he's saying, you got to come now. You got to come while you messed up. You got to come while you drinking. You got to come while you smoking. Because this way I can help you. I can deliver you. You can't heal yourself. You can't deliver yourself. You can't make yourself whole with these temporary things. You can't fix it. Only God can. Not even your boyfriend, your boo, your girlfriend, your wife, your husband, your mommy, your grandmama. They can't fix it. Only God can. That's why he's telling his people, come to me. He's telling his people, get right with me. It's only me who can do it. I'm going to get you right. I'm going to make you whole. I'm going to deliver you. I'm going to heal you. I'm going to set you free. so that you can really live that life you always desire, because that's really what we're desiring. When you see people trying to obtain all these monies and money and accolades and all these things, why? What do they really desire? They want peace. They want to be vindicated. They want to know they want people to know I am somebody. You know, look at what I did. Look at what I accomplished. But you know, we can have all of that in Christ Jesus for free. He will vindicate for us. He will show us who we are, that we have, you know, the strength, the power, and authority that people is trying to get through certain things of the worldly system. And he gives us that for free. He gives us the favor that gets us in places where we don't belong. He can get us the job without the qualifications. He can get us the vindication when people lie on us. God, you know, he will cover us and bring that truth out. God can do it. So on tonight, just trust God. Put it in God's hands. Come to God. Wake up as a believer. Remember, this life is temporary. The next life is eternal. And it's coming without warning. It's coming without warning. Don't think you got time. Don't listen to Satan. Don't listen to Satan to where it's too late for you to react, where the decision is already done and already made, and it's too late. He's talking to us, this generation, my generation, he's talking to us. We got to get it right. We don't know all things. We don't know everything. We think we know. But what we do know is that he is coming back. And that's what we have to spread. That's what we got to tell the people. That's the warning we got to give. That's the alarm that we have to sound. We got to ring the alarm because Jesus is coming. It used to be Jesus is coming back soon. But now, yeah, Jesus is coming. Next is going to be Jesus is here. So he wants us to get ready and get right. Get right, church, and let's go home. He's talking to his people. He wants us to get right with him. He wants us to really be serious about this thing. To really, you know, accept him and work out our own soul salvation. Our own, not your mommy's, not your daddy's, not your leader, your own. To really build relationship with him, to really be in tune with what's happening in the spirit realm, to really be in tune with the spirit of God and when it's moving and when it's directing, because as I stated before, like it is all throughout the word, this is what ultimately saved these people's lives, was their obedience to the voice of God. That's what saved them from a lot of things. Without them being obedient to God, they would have been devoured by the enemy. They would have been overtaken. They would have been destroyed. But because they went to God, even when the situation was really heavy, even when they didn't know what to do, because they went to God and they obeyed his voice, it saved their life. And that's what God wants his people to know, that when you do right by me, everything works out for you. When you do right by me, I'm going to make it all right. When you're doing right by me, it's no failure in that. You know, it's only victory. It's only up with God. There's no defeat in him. And he wants us to know that we can have a fulfilling, purposeful life through him and still have fun, still be great, have clean fun, and not be bound by sin and calling it fun. Ain't that funny? That's real deception. Just like when you have a friend and they making jokes, but it's at your expense, right? They're laughing at you. They're making fun of you. But you don't find it funny, but they're like, no, we just having fun. That's Satan laughing at you. This ain't fun. It ain't no fun what he got you out here doing. He's laughing at you. You're the joke. You're the butt of the joke. He's laughing at you. So stupid. Look at you going to hell. Look at you living a sinful life. Look at you doing my job for me. Look at you fighting with your brothers and sister. Wow, this is so funny. That's what the devil's doing. Making a mockery out of you, just laughing at you. And you calling it fun, but you're the joke. Because the enemy is making you miss out on everything that God has for you. The enemy is making you miss out on your salvation. The enemy can't do nothing or take nothing or do any of those things. He only can do what God allows and then what we give him access to. What we open the doors up to him, to allow him to do. So he just deceive us and trick us and make things seem fun and innocent. Boom, whole life destroyed. That's like people that play with fire and light matches and light stuff on fire. Oh, yeah, cool, it's cute. Until a whole house burned down. Oh, look at the flames. Look at this. It's cool. It's cool till everything burned down. And that's what Satan is doing. Oh, you thinking the little stuff that you're doing is cute until your old generation is dealing with this demon. Is dealing with this curse. It was cute, though. Satan made it fun, though. Satan gave you the illusion that it was popping. It was lit. But your whole bloodline destroyed. Ain't nothing cute in that. God is coming so that we may have life, so that we have generational wealth, health, all that. That's why he's coming. For his people so that, you know, we could go on the front line and war with him. Everything that we do in him is for our gain. Everything. We're not giving nothing back to God. We can't repay him for what he's done. We can try, you know, by living an upright life and worshiping and praising, you know, fasting, doing these things to try to make God, you know, smile and make him proud of us, but we could never repay him for what he's done. Never. That's why the least I say we can do, the very least, is to just accept God, accept Jesus. Into your heart and mind. It requires you nothing. You have to pay nothing just by receiving it. Now, then you do got to pay some things once you get in it and you believe and you start, you know, living a lifestyle. Yeah, he requires some things of you because to whom much is given, much is required. But even that is nothing compared to what you got to give back when you're in the world. It's nothing compared to when you give your life to Satan and all that you're going to lose. When you lose in God, see, the difference is you still gain much more whenever you release whatever God told you to let go of. God is going to give you that back sevenfold if it's what God meant for you to have. But when you and Satan and you giving up all these things, you're not getting that back. That's it. Satan snatched everything from you. It's over. It's done. You had the illusion that you was getting something back. It's a lie. You're not getting anything. And then you die and still go to hell. What type of plan is that? That's where you get tricked and bamboozled because you thought you was like coming to that dealership and about to get a Tesla and you got a Toyota. You're going to be devastated. Like, what? I paid all this money and y'all came out here and gave me a Toyota? That's how it is serving Satan. He's giving you a lie. He's feeding you a dream that is not so. He's telling you he could give you X, Y, and Z. He can't give you nothing. Everything in this land belongs to God. He is the creator. Even Satan belongs to God. He created him. So here we are. God is saying to us, time to get right. time to get right. We don't have time. Time is running out. And God just wants us to know that we can have a good life in God. We can have clean, pure, holy fun. We could be holy and righteous. We could be beautiful men and women of God and still be of the cloth of the faith. We can still be who we are, how I am, you know, wherever you from, you know, your lingo is your lingo. You can still be that in God. As long as you live in a life that is pleasing unto him, as long as you're holy, as long as you're righteous, as long as you're separated from this world, God don't care about that. He's just looking at the heart and the mind. He's just looking at how you live. He's just looking at if you have the fruits of the Spirit. He's just looking that you believe and you have faith. He's not asking you to be a prude, a grandma, a grandpa. You know, that's not what he's saying. People got a misconception about the lifestyle of being saved. No, it's fun. It is fun. It is turned up. It is lit in God. It is fun. Reading the Word is like the greatest novel book I ever read. We read in my home church today. I felt like I was reading one of the old school hood books. It was blowing my mind. I'm like, whoa, Jesus in here getting sarcastic. I'm laughing, cracking up. That's how it is when you get in God and you start building relationship. Like, the Word is just really speaking to you. And it's really like, wow, this was going on. They fighting in there. They going back and forth. Like, this is good. This is good. Get into it. There's some stories that could relate to everybody. Get into it. The greatest book I've ever read in my life. The greatest top best-selling book ever. Get into it. Jesus is coming back. That's the message on tonight. And if you need reference for scripture, it was Matthew 24:42-44, speaking about no man know the hour. We know not the hour when the Lord cometh. But if you knew the hour that a thief was coming, wouldn't you watch your house? Wouldn't you not let it get broken in? That's what God is saying. We don't know the hour, but we can be ready. The Bible says, be ye ready. Jesus loves you. Jesus loves you, and so do I. You guys have a blessed night.